Good evening. As announced, our scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again, our scripture reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Good evening. Good to see everybody out this evening. Appreciate everyone's presence. Thank you to Dan for not announcing that I would be preaching tonight ahead of time. I'm sure the attendance is up because of that. Tonight I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about teaching other people. It's a very important thing that we have to do as Christians. We're commanded to actually teach other people and to tell them about God and His will for us and why we worship Him. We need to do that on a regular basis. And hopefully you're doing that. Hopefully you're talking to people around you, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your friends, pretty much everyone you come in contact with. And the reason we do that is so that we can help save souls. Our job is to just spread the word, sow the seed. And if we're doing that, we're doing our job. But unfortunately, sometimes, in fact, most of the time, the seed does not fall on good soil. We could go through the parable of the sower and look at the different types of soil that's out there, and we know that there are many people that do not respond to the gospel. There's a lot of reasons why they don't. So tonight, I just want to talk for a few minutes about why people say no to Jesus. And we could talk till midnight about the reasons why people say no to Jesus. What their reasons are, why they decide not to follow Jesus. If you would turn over to John chapter 5, verse 36. John chapter 5, verse 36 says, "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." And that's the key there that we want to look at, is that the Father sent Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ, and He is the only one who can save us from our sins. Let's also back up a little bit there in John 5 to verse 32. We read about John the Baptist and the things that he did. Verse 32 says, "There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." It says, "He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." So he's talking about John and what John did to prepare people for the coming of Jesus, that he was the Savior that was to come. And then if you drop down to verse 36, it talks about the miracles of Jesus. "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given to me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." So these miracles that Jesus did, these hundreds of miracles that he did on this earth in front of people that denied him, those miracles proved that he was sent from God, that he was the Son of God. Down in verse 37, it says, "And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent." The Father bears witness about Jesus, proving he is the Son of God. And then verse 39, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." All of the prophecies in the Old Testament told about Jesus, told that Jesus was the Son of God and was going to save the world. So if you establish that with people when you're talking to them, if you establish that God sent Jesus to this earth, that Jesus was the Son of God, and that he died so we can have remission of our sins, well, they're going to just believe, right? Because it makes sense. Well, unfortunately, most people do what is described in verse 40 here. It says, "Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." The Jews refused to come to Christ. They refused that he was the Son of God. People do the same thing today. They refuse to come to Christ. They say no to Jesus when he calls them. But the point is that I'm trying to make, I think, is that as long as we're doing our part to teach other people and to proclaim the Word of God, then we have done our job. People are going to say no. If you've ever been in sales, you know that the word no is more common than any other word. People always tell you no. And there's no difference in trying to sell the Word of God. And people are going to say no. That's just the way it is. But we'll get into the but there in a minute. But the thing we need to learn is that Christ wants us to come to him. If you would turn over to Revelation chapter 22. So we established that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Christ. Revelation 22, verse 17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." People can come to Christ. He's asking them to come. Come to him. He's inviting them. He wants them to come. Back a few chapters in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 20, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus is knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door that most people don't want to open. They don't want to open that door. But it's our job to pry that door open. Do whatever we can to get them to open that door. And then if we turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and verse 6 tells us the reason why we need to try our hardest to get that door to open. Verse 6 says, "Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Like Seth was saying this morning, so many people in this world want to believe their own way. They want to believe that there's another way. They can make up their own way of how to get to Jesus or how to have eternal life, to go to heaven, to be with God. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty definitive. There's really no way around that. That's the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. Acts chapter 4. Verse 11 says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There is salvation in no one else. There's no other way to heaven. And hopefully we're able to convince people of that. Convince people that they have to follow Jesus. Unfortunately, sometimes they say no. And we'll look tonight on a few of the reasons why people say no. The first reason is that they have a lack of love for God. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Do we love God? Well, hopefully most of us would say yes, of course. Then are you keeping his commandments? Because if you're not, that means that you don't love God. If someone says, "Well, it's too hard. It's too hard to follow Jesus. I can't do it." It's not easy, that's for sure. But it's not impossible. If someone loves God enough, they will obey his commandments. They will follow his rules. Hopefully, if you have children, your children love you enough to follow your rules. I'll just leave that alone, but that'll go down a bad place. So somebody will need therapy after that one. But the point is, if we don't love God, we're not going to keep his commandments. And people need to understand that you need to have a love for God. Hopefully they do. But unfortunately, maybe they give in to peer pressure. Sometimes they say no because of peer pressure, because of what other people might think about them. Turn over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, down in verse 42, one of the saddest passages in the Bible, really, says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue." They believed in Jesus. They believed in who he was. They believed he was the Son of God, and they believed that he was doing things that were great. But they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. The Jews loved their religion. They loved it. Most of the time, it was a misdirected love. But they loved it very much, and they didn't want that to change. And they felt that they would be kicked out of the synagogue. Why did they do this? Verse 43 says, "For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." So many times, people will give in to peer pressure and be subjected to what their friends might think about them if they decided to follow Jesus. Maybe it's because they think, well, religion isn't cool right now. A lot of people don't believe in God. I want to be cool. I want to be liked. And who doesn't? But if you want to go to heaven, you have to follow Jesus. Over and over again, the scriptures tell us that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, down in verse 32. I appreciate everyone turning to the scriptures. It's good to hear an actual book turning pages, even though I don't have a book with me, but kind of ironic. So, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Do you think the people of authority that we just read about, the Pharisees that believed in Jesus, are going to be acknowledged before the Father in heaven? They're going to be denied in front of the Father in heaven because they decided not to come to Christ, not to obey Him, because of what other people would think. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. We can see what the Apostle Paul did in these types of situations. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So if we're trying to please man and not stand out in a crowd, so to speak, we're not going to be a servant of Christ. It's not going to happen. We have to seek the approval of God. And hopefully that's what the people that you're talking to are going to want to do. But unfortunately, sometimes they'll come up with another objection. The love of sin can sometimes be one of those objections of why people refuse to come to Christ. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us of someone who decided to give up his life of following Jesus. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9 says, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." From everything we gather, Demas was a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. He was with Paul quite a bit. He may have even been a friend of Paul. He decided that he was in love with his present world. He was in love with sin and gave up following Christ. Now, this might apply to people that are already Christians. they have already become a Christian and decided to follow Christ, but they turned away because there was an appeal of sin, something that was more important than following Christ. But many people today will decide, I just can't pull the trigger. I just can't dedicate my life to God because I love this world too much. I love sin too much. And that's usually what the people that describe or say that it's okay if they go to hell. It's not that big of a deal. All their friends will be there. They love sin too much. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Down in verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's the problem. People love this world. People love sin. They don't want to give that up. If you're going to follow Christ, you have to give up those things. You have to give up your old sinful life. And in reality, is it really that big of a deal to give up those old sins? To give up your old life? In the big picture, is it really that big of a deal? You might think it is, but when you look at eternity and the chance that you have of eternal life in heaven, is it worth giving that up? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Down in verse 24. Says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And isn't that what it is? The pleasures of sin are fleeting. They're passing. They're temporary. They don't last very long. At the end of a meal, dessert does not last very long. It's a good thing sometimes, but it doesn't last forever. Am I saying that dessert is sin? I don't know. It depends on how much you eat, I guess. But really, it's kind of the same thing. When you think about it, it's something you want. Who doesn't want dessert of some sort? Sure, maybe you don't want cake every time you have dessert or ice cream, whatever it is. Everybody has their own tastes, but it's something that you want. But it's temporary. If it's not temporary, you're going to be very overweight. Sometimes you have to say, when dessert is offered to you, just say no. Sometimes you've decided, you know what, I've had a lot of dessert this weekend. Enough's enough. I'm just going to say no to that piece of pie or whatever it is. You can turn down dessert, just like you can turn down sin. You can say no to sin. Because ultimately, what happens if you don't? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin. What are the wages of eating too much dessert? You're probably going to have a stomach ache. That's the end result. What are the wages of sin? Death. You will not be rewarded if you commit sins. And that word wages, if you think about it, what do you get when you work your job on a regular basis? At the end of the week or 2 weeks, whatever it is, you normally get a paycheck for your wages. You've earned it. You've earned that paycheck, hopefully. That's what you get for working. Well, if you have lived a life full of sin, you're going to receive the payment. The payment is death. Why? Because you've earned it. That's the way you lived your life. If you live a sinful life, your payment will be death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty much the only way to avoid that. If you want to avoid death and have eternal life, you have to follow Jesus. Family. Sometimes people say no to Jesus because of family. We talked about this a little bit when we talk about other people and peer pressure and their friends and doing what their friends think is cool. Well, sometimes people don't want to follow Jesus because of their family. They have put a value on their family, which is a good thing. Family is important, but it shouldn't be too important. It should not be the most important thing in our lives. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says here in verse 37, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Family is something that a lot of people hold on to. We had a person that had become a Christian here at Brown Street several years ago. And that person was doing great as a Christian. They were faithful. They were interactive. They were on the right track to living a good life and possibly having a home of eternal life. But something happened in that person's life. Something happened, and they lost a family member. They started questioning things. They said, well, that family member wasn't a Christian. What does that mean for them? Eventually, they came to the realization that that person was not going to go to heaven because they were not a Christian. They did not live a life free of sin so that they can have eternal life in heaven. They were a good person. And that was the problem. That Christian saw that that person was a good person. Even though they weren't a Christian, He felt that that was unfair. And that turned him away from God. It turned him away from Christ. Because he couldn't accept the fact that sometimes our loved ones are not going to be with us in heaven. It's a sad reality that we have to face. But is it really worth your eternal soul to give that up because of someone else? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." All of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due. Each of us is going to receive the payment, the wages, of what we have done on this earth. Not what our parents have done, not what our children have done, not what our spouse has done. We have to carry ourselves through this life. No one else can carry us. No one else can pull us along. We have to stand on our own. Because we're going to stand on our own and on the judgment day. It's going to happen. And if we're not ready individually, we're going to have problems. One of the last things, like I said, this is not an exhaustive list, but some things that people say no to Jesus for, they don't love God's truth. They don't love the Word. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Down in verse 10, it says, "And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." They refuse to love the truth and so be saved. If you don't love the truth, you're not going to be saved. The problem some people have is they don't like truth if it's not their own truth. Like Seth mentioned this morning, some people come up with their own religion, their own way of worshiping God. And sometimes that's not at all. They've decided they don't need that. They don't need God in their life. They don't believe His truth. They don't love His truth. You have to love the truth and know the truth so it can set you free. If someone thinks that they know the truth, their own truth, and it's better than what God says, they're fooling themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Down in verse 20, says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. If someone thinks that they know better than God, they're sorely mistaken. God knows what we need. That's why he gave us the truth. He gave us the ability to search the scriptures and find out for ourselves what we have to do to go to heaven. He has given us the ability to find that out. But unfortunately, some people say no to Jesus because they don't love God's truth. And finally, probably the most common reason that people say no to Jesus is because it's easy to say no. I talked about the salesman who always gets the answer no. It's almost second nature anymore for people to just say no. No, thank you. I'm good. I don't need that. Whatever it is. If you go walking down the street in a large city, anywhere pretty much, you'll have people coming up to you trying to hand you a flyer or ask you something, whatever it is. We get used to just saying no thanks. You go to the mall these days. What a disaster. What did they do to the mall? It's terrible. You go to the mall and you're hit from every angle. People wanting to sell you something. That's all you do. You're just trying to walk through the mall and you just, no thanks, no thanks. I have a cell phone. I've got everything I need. So we get into this groove of just saying no. I don't need any of that. And that's what a lot of people do today. When they're faced with the question of, do you believe in God? A simple question like that. They don't even want to talk about it. No thanks, I'm good. People say no a lot. Parents say no a lot. That's our number one job, is to say no. It's just the way it is. But the point is that it's easier to just not obey Christ. It's easier to just say no, avoid it completely. Why? Well, society's lazy anymore, honestly. They want the easy way out. They don't want to put any effort into anything. Drove by the Target parking lot the other day. They now have spots where you can pull up and pick up your things that you bought online. You go to a restaurant, they have the easy pickup spots that you can park in. You don't even have to go in the restaurant to get takeout anymore. Society is becoming lazy, and unfortunately it's going to be harder and harder to reach people because they're all going to be in their homes not talking to people. I guess we'll just have to find another way to reach people. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to eternal life, and those who find it are few." People say no because it's easy. It's the easy way out. They don't want a hassle. They don't want to deal with things. They just want to live their life in peace, and that's it. Unfortunately, That will be it. They won't have eternal life. So what do? People say no to Jesus all the time. Well, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4:1 says, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." Don't give up. People are going to say no. They're going to have excuses why they don't want to follow Jesus, why they tell him no over and over again. Our job is to not give up, whatever it is. In a couple weeks, we're going to be going out into the community again, handing out cards. That's something we should not give up. We should keep doing that. Talking to our neighbor for a couple minutes, just asking them, "Do you go to church anywhere?" You're going to get the answer no a lot. Going back to the salesperson, they get no, I don't know what the number is, but I think it's 10 times more than they get a yes. You're going to get no's. Don't give up. Keep teaching people. Keep talking to people. Because that's how people are going to find out the way to heaven. By us talking to them. So tonight, if you know the way to heaven, if you know that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, don't say no again. Don't say no one more time. Say yes tonight. Say yes to Jesus and yes that you're going to follow him and commit your life to him so that you can have that hope of eternal life. If you've already become a Christian and you've fallen back into that sinful world because you have that love of sin, it happens. But you need to turn your life around. You need to repent of your sins. If it's of a private nature, you can repent privately. But if it's something public, we invite you to come and repent publicly. So whatever the case may be, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing to encourage you.